Amen. We're in Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 37. Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 37, the last portion of the scripture. He says, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loose, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Father God, we come before you today, and Lord, we're so humbled in your presence. Lord, we feel you in this place, the mighty God, and we reverence you today. We exalt you above all others, above everything else, Lord. We worship you and we honor you. Now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take the words off this page, which is truth. And we pray, Lord, that you would take them into our heart and change our life. Lord, you said that you would transform us, Lord, by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God. So, Father, we are putting our minds on the altar today so that it can be washed. Lord, we need our minds washed. And we ask, Lord, that you would wash our mind and wash our thoughts and transform us into the image of Christ so that we become like you. That is our prayer today. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, as I read this story, I thought, dear Lord, what am I going to say about that other than God healed a deaf man? You know, and then the Lord began to show me some things. So the very first thing I want you to notice is that the last verse of that chapter, all the people said this, He has done all things well. The title of this sermon is The Mark of Excellence. See, the same mark that was on Jesus' life, that He does everything well, should be on your life. He does everything well. Whatever you do, and I'm talking about if you go to school, you ought to do it well. If you're wherever you work, you ought to be known as one of the hardest workers at your place. But at church, whatever you do, you ought to do it well. You ought to do it with all your might, with all your heart, as unto the Lord. So if you're cleaning toilets or sweeping a floor or serving coffee or teaching a Sunday school class, singing on the pulpit, whatever you do, do it with all your heart so that people at some point would look at you and say, there's a mark of excellence on that person. He does all things well. Isn't that a compliment? What a compliment. That's what they said about Jesus. But then you got to ask yourself, why? Why did they say this about Jesus? Because he healed another person? I don't think so. I don't think they thought he did everything well because they witnessed another miracle, because they had witnessed several. Matter of fact, you know they had witnessed several because they knew the formula. At least they thought they knew the formula. They didn't bring this deaf mute in there and say, heal him. They said, lay your hands on him. Why? Obviously, they had seen Jesus lay his hands on many people and then recover. See, I find that we still do that today in church. We're trying to figure out the formula to make him work for us. What's the formula that works? I got it. Jesus just got to lay his hand on us. The woman with the issue of blood said, I've just got to touch the hem of his garments. You see, Jesus met each person at their level of faith. Can I say this? You're going to have a difficult time putting God in a box. because he will step out of your box of formulas every time. But the one thing we know, he does everything well. Today, in our society, and I guess it's probably always been this way, but Christians seem to be consumed with the gifts of the Spirit. We keep seeking after signs and miracles and wonders and prophecy. Guys, I'm telling you, it just amazes to me. You let somebody say that he's a prophet, and Christians from all around will flood to wherever that is because they want to hear what that guy's got to say. Because he's a prophet. Quit looking for the gifts. Start following the fruit. There is a difference. We almost get hypnotized with people that speak in tongues or give words, especially if it's fluid and it's smooth and it's, oh, it just seems to be the right word all the time. We're just like, oh, such a godly man. Sometimes their lives are a total wreck. I'm going to throw one on you now. Listen to me close. Sometimes the word they speak is right on, but their lives is a wreck. What's that all about? If God can use a donkey, he can use a man. Amen. Even if the man's life is not right. Amen. Right? But don't elevate people because they're being used by the gifts. Now you think, well, what is the gifts? It's a prophecy, it's healings, it's miracles, it's, you know, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are the gifts of the Spirit, and they're all by the Spirit of God. Are we downplaying that? Absolutely not. We want the gifts to move in our church. We want the gifts to move in our life. But we don't follow after them. You know what? You don't follow after them because they follow after you. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. They'll cast out demons and they'll lay their hands on the sick and they'll recover. You don't seek the gift, seek the gift giver. Right? And then the fruit appears. So Matthew 16, Jesus said this. He said, "You wicked and adulterous generation, they seek after a sign, and no sign shall be given except for the sign of the prophet Jonah." What was the sign of the prophet of Jonah? The resurrection. He was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and then come back to life, as far as the people knew, right? That was the resurrection. That was a picture of the resurrection. That's the last sign that we need. We don't need another person to prophesy Jesus is coming back soon. We know it. Because he resurrected. We don't need all that. It's all good and well. I love prophecy. But here's what really matters. Jesus rose from the dead. Because he lives, I can live too. You know, Jesus does things differently. Right? You remember the saying, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. How many people have heard that? That's not in your Bible. Okay. You may think that's, you know, that's in Isaiah somewhere. No, it's not. It's not in the Bible. But it probably come from Isaiah chapter 50. It's actually an old song. That's what it is. It's words from an old song. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 16 says, "But we have the mind of Christ." The great equalizer, right? He came to equalize it. So let me tell you this story the way I think you're going to understand it. Jesus is in the house, and there's a man who's deaf and has a speech impediment of some sort. Some people thought he was a stutterer. But if you've ever been around deaf people, they have what, and please don't take anything that I say as I'm speaking down. I'm not. But we used to say they have a thick tongue because you speak what you hear. And if your hearing is not good, then you won't speak well. And we, one of our good friends, when they had a little child, and Treva and I would go with them different places, and her name was Tara, and she would sit in the back of the car, and Treva and I would sit with him as we'd go out to eat and stuff like that. And when Tara talked to you, Tara would take your chin, and she would turn your face to her and make you look at her. Why? Because at that time, we didn't know that she was almost deaf. But she, as a child, began to read lips. And she thought, you know, whatever a child is exposed to, they think that's normal. That's why we have to teach people that comes out of abused backgrounds a new normal. Right? So she thought it was normal. She knew she read lips. She wasn't hearing you. She was reading your lips. So she thought you had to. So she just reached up and grabbed that chin and, okay, you got my attention, you know. Later on, then they found out she was just nearly deaf. And went to school and actually teaches deaf children this day. So I have worked with seniors for 22 years, and there's one thing that I have found out about people that are hard of hearing. There's a stigma that goes with that. And it's a little bit of an embarrassment. Have you ever noticed, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I remember a girl when I was just a little kid, she was really hard hearing, and her hearing aid took over her whole ear. You remember how big they used to be back in the 60s? And now you can't even hardly see them. Why? Because they know there's a stigma to it. So they keep trying to get that smaller and smaller. Most of you remember Aunt Shirley when she came to church here. And, of course, she had Alzheimer's. And I really wish you could have known the real Aunt Shirley. Spunk and vinegar, I'm going to tell you. And a sense of humor. But she went to church one time and with her hearing aid on. And someone says, "Does that embarrass you wearing those hearing aids?" And she looked at him and she said, "Does that embarrass you wearing glasses?" I think she had a perfect point. She said, if you can't see, you wear glasses. If you can't hear, you wear a hearing aid. But there is a stigma to that. And nobody wants to be screamed at. And I've worked with seniors and I've seen other people. Can you stand up for a second? Let me show you for a second. I've seen people try to lead blind people like this. You never lead a blind person that way. You put your hand out, you let them grab your hand, and then you walk with them. So what I'm trying to say, very good job. I knew you'd do that excellent. There's a way that you treat anyone with a disability. It's with honor, right? So you don't go into a screaming match because you're going to embarrass them. They know you're screaming at them. Even though if they can't hear you, they know it. Also, can I say this? For those of you who may not know it, a hearing aid elevates all the noise, not just a specific noise. So what you need to do, if you want to get a message to someone that's hard of hearing, you isolate them. You get them in a room and you close the door so only your voice is what they hear. Are you getting this picture? Do you see what Jesus did? They said, just lay your hand on him. He said, no. And he grabs that man and he takes him into a separate room. And then he does some strange things to us. He puts his finger in his ear. You know what he's doing? Sign language. Jesus is giving sign language. He's not screaming at him. He says, I'm getting ready to touch your ear. Your ear is going to be healed. And then they say, spit on his tongue. And I don't know if he touched his tongue or touched the other man's tongue. I can tell you one thing. If you have a spitting ministry, you better have the goods is all I got. You better. Don't you spit in mud and put it on someone's eyes, or don't you spit on someone's tongue unless God for sure is going to heal them. Or you're going to get slugged and I'm going to say, you deserve to be slugged. I think Jesus probably wet his finger and touched his own tongue. I don't know. You may read that differently. Doesn't matter. But what he was doing is he was signaling to that man, your tongue is going to be loosed. And then one word prayer. Can I just say this? I just got to say this. Obviously, Jesus was not Pentecostal. He could pray a one word prayer and it brought down heaven, right? A Pentecost would have prayed for 15 minutes at the top of their lungs. I know I is one. But he, what I'm trying to show you is the gentleness and the kindness that God that Jesus operated in. And that was the mark of excellence. It wasn't the healing. It was how he manifested the healing. The care that he gave to this man. Not to make a show of it. He was trying to keep it quiet. He wasn't trying to be a show. He was trying to touch this man's life. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Be kind to one another. Be an imitator of Jesus. Jesus was kind. What is that? That's a fruit of the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:22, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness or gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Think about the signal that he was sending to people. It was a sign of love. It was a sign of gentleness and kindness. He wasn't exploiting the gifts of the Spirit. He was portraying the fruit of the Spirit. You get that? We have got to pay more emphasis on the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Notice the word fruit is singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The rest of those words describe love. Joy, peace, long-suffering. Jesus was gentle. He was kind. It's who he was. He was kind. And I'm supposed to be an imitator of that. So I can't make myself be kind. I can seek Jesus with all my heart, and he changes my heart to be kind. If I try it the other way, I'm just going to be fake, right? So Jesus touched this man's life. He was never the same. And the people witnessed something wonderful. Not only did they witness the miracle, they witnessed kindness in action. The word kindness in the Greek is Christos. And it means this, goodness in action. Goodness in action. A sweet disposition. Scripture says they're going to know us by our love. You speaking in tongues and giving an interpretation will not impress people. But when you stoop down to help somebody, when you love somebody, maybe that's not even lovable, that catches people's attention. That catches the attention of God. God's called us to be loving. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angel. What's he saying? Though I speak with the tongues, what's he talking about? Speaking in tongues. You get it? Come on, stay with me. He's talking about speaking in tongues. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the, what? The gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, that's the gift of knowledge, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, faith is one of the gifts, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. What's the Holy Spirit trying to tell us in 1 Corinthians 16? It's the gift of this, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's love that's going to if we want to make an impact in Henry County, it's not because we're noisy. It's because we're loving. It's because we're kind. Even when you don't want to be kind. So when you get bad service at the restaurant, you are kind to the waitress. We went out last week for Jason's birthday, and we had a great big old table. Probably 15 of us went to, I won't tell you which restaurant, but the service was on a scale of 1 to 10. It was got to be somewhere in the minus numbers. It was terrible service. I was not expecting that kind of crowd to come in. It wasn't that waitress's fault. She was working with all her heart. But you know what I noticed? I noticed that almost everybody at our table gave her an extra good tip and had words of kindness for her. Said, "We appreciate your service." I was hearing people say this over and over and over. Do you understand that the Sunday crowd that goes to restaurants are known as the worst tippers and the most rude people that the waitresses see all week? God help us. We're sending the wrong message. We're called to be kind. We're called to be gentle. I'm telling you, this was not healing a deaf man and healing his tongue that impressed him. It was the kindness that Jesus showed. He impressed people because of the love he showed to this gentleman. He didn't embarrass. "Why you need? You want me to heal you? Can you hear me?" That's what we would have done. "Can you say, baby?" You had to be in the 70s to get that one. God help us. We've had enough nonsense, haven't we? There's one more thing that Jesus did right before he prayed that one word prayer. He sighed. Mark recorded it. Mark recorded that Jesus sighed. You know, sighing is a sign of exasperation. You are on my last nerve. Right? It's what it usually, it's a sign of anxiety. But whatever it's a sign of, it's almost always a sign of something negative. Sighing. So I said, "Lord, I don't believe you were exasperated with that man. I don't believe you lost patience with him. What's this all about?" The Lord showed me. You know, it says in Psalms 38, verse 9, "You know what I long for, Lord. You hear my every sigh." King James, you know what the King James says there? He says, "You hear my every groaning." Romans 8, 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Mark said Jesus sighed. I don't think Jesus sighed. I think Jesus groaned. In the Spirit. Yes. Why? Because He wanted to see this man's life changed. I believe something come from his gut. Now, I don't believe that groaning in the Spirit is something you do. I think it's something that comes out of you. The Spirit of God, it says, groans in you. Have you ever been, you know, sometimes prayer sounds like a woman travailing in birth. When you really get into the deep battle of prayer, of intercession, of praying for somebody, maybe you've never done that. If you've ever had one of your children do something terribly wrong and you begin to pray for them, you may feel a groan come out of your spirit. Why? Because that's your baby. I'm telling you, when Jesus looked at this man, that was his child. That was his baby. And something come out of Jesus' belly. It was a groan of the Spirit. I think he was thinking, this man's life's going to be different from this day forth. How dare you, Satan? How dare you put something on this man that he has walked with all his life? But I'm going to tell you something. God has come to bring him life. God has come. And Boaz all of us, Ephatha, be opened. A man was never the same. Jesus said, now don't tell anybody. Right. I won't tell a soul. You know, how can you contain that?
Amen.
Why Jesus tell people not to tell? Because there were certain people among them that wanted to make him king. They saw what Jesus could do for them and they began to seek his hand and not his face. Same thing the church is doing many times. They said, he can deliver us from the Roman Empire. Let's make him king. So Jesus began to squelch some of the things because he knew he didn't come to be king. He came to die for your sins. But he is coming back a second time to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will be our king. It's hard to contain when Jesus touches your life. That's why our praise gets noisy. Because in this church, there's people that's life's been changed by him. Amen. Stand with me. I just believe that there's some people here today that your life is not marked with kindness. Your life is not marked by love. Maybe your true character is to be a little bit short, to be hateful. And I think the Holy Spirit has put his finger on you today. And he's saying, I want to change this in your life. I want to take the hard heart and replace it with a soft heart. I want to do some reversing. You see, a lot of times we're the way we are because we have suffered rejection. We have suffered at the hands of other people who sort of made us hard because we're tired of getting hurt. So we become hard. And what happens if you get a hard heart, you respond in a hard way to people. Jesus wants to soften your heart today. He wants to make you like him. He wants to change the character and the fruit of your life to where it's kind, it's gentle, it's loving. Would you mind just closing your eyes for a second? If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I really believe that is for me. Would you just raise your hand? Amen. I see hands all over. Amen. Amen. Can I pray for them first? Father God, I just lift up these people that are so honest. This says, Lord, the character that they see coming out of their heart, the fruit of their life is not what they know was the fruit of your life. Lord, it's not to call these people bad people. They're not bad people. But Lord, their character doesn't line up with your character. And they're asking you, Lord, right now for a supernatural exchange. Lord, would you put your axe to the root of their tree so that gentleness and kindness and love can prevail? So when they speak to others, there's a gentleness, there's a love that comes out of them. Father, I believe that you're doing that right now. I call it done in Jesus' name. Now you are going to begin to see a change in your life and you're going to, don't be surprised by it. Go with it. The Lord is doing something in your life. I want to ask you if you want to make your public confession of your faith. I want you to just come and stand in front of this church. And by doing that, now if you've been known as a Christian for 20 years, I'm not saying you come, but I'm saying if you've given your heart to Jesus in the last little bit and you've, nobody really knows it, you need to let people know, I stand with Jesus. So I want you to come and stand in front of this church so that we can pray for you and just love on you a little bit. And most of us in this room have made this public confession of our faith. And then there's just one other thing that I want to do. As I have prayed for you this week, I have noticed that God does more for me than He's doing for you. But I have identified some spirits that are in operation in you that I would just like to ask the Lord to change. Mike, I'd like to pray for you if I can. If you just step on down. And anybody else that would like to be prayed for, I want you to just come down. We'll make this very quickly. We're not going to embarrass you at all. This guy has that spirit of gentleness. He's got a kind heart. And every day when I pray for you, I just thank the Lord for that kindness. And we met him when Jesse was so ill. And Mike came in to help bring her to the church. And I watched him. I watched the way people treat others. And I watched the way Mike treated Jesse and Garthel. And there's such a kindness. And I believe Jesus wants to wipe away some of your past so that your future is a different person. Father God, I just pray for my brother. Lord, I speak blessings over his life. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that kind heart. I thank you, Lord, that he's so gentle, so kind. But Father, I pray right now that you would reach into his heart and replace some of the things, Lord. Lord, the spirit of rejection, I pray it would be gone over his life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that he would know that he's loved and approved by you. I pray that he would know that he is a son of God. Lord, I pray that he would not see things through the eyes of rejection any longer. I cancel that spirit in Jesus' name so that this gentle, kind, loving spirit will touch other people, Lord. Jesus, I thank you for Mike. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life. In Jesus' name, I pray that he would go free in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I bless you. I bless you. I say be well in your body. Be whole in your mind. Be favored by God. Let his presence be your portion and your passion. And everything you put your hand to prospers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Give me a hug. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Amen. Amen. Pastor Ray. Sure.
Day and night, and night and day, let incense rise. Day and night.